Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC Radio. I'm Jamie Floyd, and today for Brian Lehrer. Well, our next guest says that if you're thinking about going to graduate school in the humanities, don't. Professor William Pannepacker is an associate English professor at Hope College in Holland, Michigan. His recent article in the Chronicle of Higher Education, The Big Lie About the Life of the Mind, is part of his ongoing discussion about saying no to graduate school. He writes under the pen name Thomas H. Benton. Professor William Pannepacker, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Jamie. I'm so glad to be on your program.
Well, I'm waiting for my mother to call in on this one. You write that students just shouldn't go to graduate school for the humanities. She's a professor, by the way. But you're a tenured English professor yourself. So why are you now discouraging students from pursuing a career similar to your own?
I think that my concerns come primarily from my role as an advisor of undergraduates, many of whom are engaged in the liberal arts and excited about the idea of pursuing that at the graduate level, typically with the goal of becoming professors. The problem is that that is an increasingly unlikely outcome, and that graduate students typically are not trained to explore other options, so that by the time they get to the end of programs that can take up to 10 years, they find themselves feeling lost, feeling as if they had postponed the very problems that sent them back to graduate school when they finished their undergraduate experience.
So wait, Professor, are you saying that if you could dial it back, if you could go back in time, you would tell your younger student self not to get that PhD?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. However, from the perspective of where I am now, I've managed to find a position that I enjoy very much. It's very rewarding. I care about my students, but the chances of my finding that position were fairly small. I'm one of the lucky ones. Mm. And the problem is that the people that the students see are the lucky ones who have benefited from the system. They want to be encouraging. They want to do the right thing by their students, but sometimes they lack information, or they don't want to squash a student's dream because maybe they'll be lucky too. But at some point, I think we have to be upfront with students and tell them the truth about the odds they're facing and help them to prepare for alternative possibilities and maybe in the process to begin to change graduate education so it can prepare them for those things.
Hmm. So it's sort of like packing your bag and getting on that bus for Hollywood. You see that one person who's made it, but you don't see all of the others who've fallen by the wayside.
That's true.
Wow. All right, let's get some calls from listeners. What's your take? Do you regret spending all that time and money to get your PhD only to struggle to find work? Or do you think an education always leads to opportunities? Or do any current students want to weigh in? Is it worth it despite the downsides? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or you can leave a comment on our website. You can use your pen name if you prefer, WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show. So, Professor, what motivates most young students to seek a graduate degree in the humanities in the first place? What job path are they usually envisioning when you're advising them as they're starting out?
Their motives are often complex. Typically, they say they would like to be a professor, which is very flattering because they're speaking to one. They also have some passionate intellectual interests that they'd like to explore. The challenge is that graduate programs aren't necessarily going to give them what they're looking for, and there isn't a lot of transparency about the graduate school experience and what comes after. One of the things that I would like to see come out of this series of columns is more information about the placement of graduates and the attrition rate of graduates. We have a sense that about 3 out of 5 admitted graduate students, already a very carefully selected group, will not complete their doctoral programs. So we have a 60% or better attrition rate. And out of the 2 who complete the program, it's unlikely that more than one will ever find a tenure-track position.
Now let me interrupt you for one moment. When you say they won't complete, you mean they won't complete at all, or they won't complete in their chosen field, they'll switch over to another field?
Well, the attrition rate means that they will leave the program at some point before completing their PhD. Wow. Typically, they'll leave as ABDs. Often, it's because they've seen the writing on the wall about the job market, or they decided that graduate school is not for them. But the problem of transparency is that graduate programs are not really giving information about what happens to graduates who don't end up in tenure-track positions. Often they'll advertise people as successfully placed who are in adjunct positions, who are cobbling together livelihoods at a rate of $2,000 a course with no benefits in very insecure positions year after year. And that's really the typical experience of a PhD recipient these days. It's a very difficult life, unlike what students imagine being a professor is, the comfortable image of a tweedy pipe-smoking advisor that they meet on a daily basis.
Well, are you sitting in your stuffed chair with your tweed jacket smoking your pipe right now, Professor?
I'm fortunate to come about as close to that role today as it's possible to be.
All right, let's take, I don't want to suggest that I entertain such a stereotype about professors. Let's take a call from Melanie in Washington Heights. Melanie, you're on the line with our professor who wants to encourage you not to get your PhD, but I'm guessing that you're calling because you are. What do you have to say to the professor?
Well, I'm about 6 months away from defending my dissertation, and
going
on the job market next year in the fall. And one of the things I take umbrage with is the idea that graduate students, you know, have this fantasy about what graduate school is going to be and their chances of success. One of the problems that I find with graduate education in general is that professors themselves like to portray this fantasy to graduate students, where graduate study is actual work. And the people I've known who have done well, who have gone on to get jobs, in the program I'm in, we have a huge hiring rate of, you know, great placement in tenure-track jobs. And the people who do successfully are the ones who aren't sort of seduced by this fantasy of tweed smoking or tweed jacket wearing, pipe smoking leisure, but who treat it like a 9-to-5 job. That success is actually not that fleeting if you get up, do work, publish, and write your pages every day.
Melanie, what are you going to be getting your PhD in?
I'm getting my PhD in intellectual history and comparative literature, studying the Enlightenment, ethics, and epistemology.
Well, that is the humanities. Professor Panamaker, what do you say to Melanie? She's certainly not following your advice.
Well, she's already in a graduate program, and I wish her the best. I think that Melanie sounds like the kind of student who should be in a graduate program, who has every chance of being successful, although there are, I know, lots of successful people, unfortunately, who have not fared so well. I think that the kind of people who go to graduate school are ones who are prepared to be intellectual entrepreneurs, to be activists and organizers, who can change the profession and make their own opportunities and aren't seduced by the fantasy that even that academe has some kind of monopoly on the so-called life of the mind. Melanie sounds like a student who will be able to create opportunities wherever she goes, whether it's in academe or not. And it sounds as if her program, since it has apparently good placement rates, would benefit from a system of transparency. It should advertise those placement rates so that students can make informed decisions about attending such a program.
And, of course, each program is different. Let's talk a little more concretely about some of the realities that you write about. Let's talk about the debt that students incur in the course of their study. You write that humanities PhDs, like Melanie, come out of school in their early 30s with a lot of debt, very little experience outside of the academic world, and then they're years behind their cohorts. Is there really hope for them to recover financially, or are they just too far behind?
Well, there's always hope, but it often comes at the end of a long period of despair. One of the more moving things that I've experienced as a writer of columns about graduate school for a dozen years now is receiving accounts by hundreds or even thousands from students who are going through that period of despair. And it's that feeling that I try to speak to the most. I think there are ways to recover, but it is sad to hear stories about people who have spent their 20s postponing entry into the life that they might have had, starting families, establishing themselves in careers, building homes, things that they deeply desired and thought might be the outcome of going to graduate school, entry into a, perhaps not affluent, but at least secure middle-class existence where they can be respected and not hate their job. And what they've done is, as someone once put it, is hit the snooze button on the alarm clock of life. And
well,
they're
perhaps,
waking up in their, they're waking up in their 30s.
Perhaps not the intellectual alarm clock, but certainly the financial one. Chad in Brooklyn has a question for Professor William Pannepacker. Chad, you're on WMYC.
Hi. So I'm an MFA student, and I'm wondering what the professor has to think about other graduate programs, non-PhD programs, because I think there are a lot more job opportunities out there. For example, for people who earn M.Eds, you have to do that to be a teacher in a lot of different places. An MFA, you need that in order to teach creative writing, and I feel like that's, maybe not as popular a field, so there might be more job opportunities out there for graduates. I can take my answer off the air.
How about a professor? How about other fields of study outside of a PhD in the humanities?
There's a lot of variation based on subfield. One category of student that I would like to see in graduate school, or who I feel can safely pursue graduate education, is a student who is already employed and is seeking enhanced credentials in support of that employment, preferably being paid for by their employer. I think it is a certain amount of risk to get a degree in anticipation of a job that you do not currently hold. I think MFA programs fall into that category, but the nice thing about them is that they're only 2 years long. It's not as great an economic opportunity or psychological commitment to go for 2 years compared with going for 8 to 10 years like a PhD program. That's a recipe for a really traumatic experience.
Yes, and as you write, the time investment is part of what perhaps academic institutions should rethink, and much of your writing suggests reforming the graduate school experience in terms of cost and time, and then perhaps it would be more rewarding, you suggest, for the students. Are there some circumstances in which someone might reasonably consider going to grad school? I have about a minute left, Professor.
I think that students who are not expecting to become professors at the end of the process, who are going there for intellectual reasons, and who are prepared not to be seduced by the idea that academe has a monopoly on the life of the mind. Mm-hmm. That way they are not going to be beholden to the institution. They can pursue their own best interests, and when they're ready to do something else, they won't be imprisoned by it, hopefully. But there is always the danger that students who are in graduate school will become socialized into believing that life outside of academe means failure.
That's
something.
Thank you, Professor William Pannepacker. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer.